You can faint. I've fainted a few times in my life, a couple of times quite embarrassing as a preteen. But when you faint and you become conscious again, they don't say you were resurrected because you didn't die. They, you know, you come to or you regain consciousness or whatever. But a lot of people don't understand the power of the resurrection because they don't really understand the importance of the death. Death impacts us when it comes close to us, when we experience the death of a loved one. But the biggest effect that death has on us is when it comes into our own lives. And so, in order to truly experience resurrection life with Christ, we have to die to ourselves. So how do you die to yourself? The best way, well, the main way to die to yourself is to surrender your life to His will. To what He asks of you, to what His word tells us to do. And usually dying to yourself involves weakness and fear and brokenness and sometimes pain. But if we will submit to the process and stay in relationship with Jesus through it, not just, oh, my life is so terrible and I'm suffering so much for Jesus, but not really looking at Jesus and not really maintaining relationship with Him. If we do both, if we submit to the process of death to self in our lives, and if we also maintain relationship with Jesus, then we will experience freedom because it is always worth it to choose His way. And not just one time at the altar, but every day. That's the thing. When I submit my life to Jesus Christ and I say, God, I am willing to die to myself, that's not a one-time thing. That's not a come to the altar and die one time at the altar. It is an everyday, all-day decision that I make, that we make, that I make, that we all make. Kyle Adelman wrote a book called Not a Fan. And actually, that's where the title for this message came from, because the Lord just spoke the words Not a Fan to me. And so I was reading through parts of his book. And if you put up that slide, Joe, in his book, he shares in an email that he received from someone, who had read the book. And the person said, thanks so much for the challenge to go from fan to follower. I am trying every day to become a follower of Jesus. And Kyle Adelman said, I appreciated that, but I can tell you he's going to fail because trying every day isn't enough. If I could just change one word in that email, it would make all the difference. It needs to read, thanks so much for this challenge to go from fan to follower. I am dying every day to become a follower of Jesus. Now, that might sound morbid, but the reality is a lot of people claim Christianity, but they don't know what Jesus expects from them. The Christian life requires death to self. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 through 26, then he said to them all, it says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Notice that word, take up his cross daily and follow me. He didn't say take it up one time when you come to the altar and you get saved. He didn't say take it up once on Sundays when you're in church. Daily, that means Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Again, all every day, all day. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Another reason I believe it says take up his cross is because sometimes my cross looks different than your cross. What's a sacrifice for me might not be a sacrifice for you. But what's a sacrifice for you might not be a sacrifice for me. The Lord knows the things that will have a tendency to hold us and keep us from being able to do God's will. And that's why we have to take up our cross, the one that He says you need to give that up. That's why with the rich young ruler, I believe Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. Because Jesus knew he couldn't. He knew that his riches were the cross that he was not willing to bear. And so Jesus didn't want him to, under false pretenses, become a disciple, thinking that he was surrendered when he really wasn't. And God will bring us to that place in our lives where our will crosses his and we have a choice to make. And so it continues. Jesus continues, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. if we hold on to our life, but I want to have things my way and I want to do things my way, we will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So the word deny, it means to deny utterly or to disown. We have to be willing to let go of what has always been us. But no, but that's how I am. I always respond to people that way, or I never respond, you know, in that way. I always do this and I always have had that. And sometimes God will ask us to give those things up because he knows we don't need to be defined by those things. We need to be defined by our relationship with him. And so we have to be willing to deny ourselves. We have to stop making this life about us, about our ideas and wants and feelings and desires. A lot of people are confused about what the Christian life, what you can do and be a Christian. But the problem is, the Christian life is not defined by my feelings. If I feel a certain way, that doesn't make it okay with God. God doesn't care. Well, I understand that you feel that way, so we're going to make an exception. The Christian life is defined by what it says in the Word of God. And my feelings have to bow to what it says in the Word of God. And that's true for everybody. That's the thing. There are no exceptions. Nobody gets a pass. Nobody gets a way out. Whatever it is, says it in the Word. My life has to bow to it, to what the Word of God says. And so we have to take up our cross daily. Now, taking up the cross in Jesus' day, we've talked about this before, but in Jesus' day, the cross wasn't a pretty piece on a necklace. It wasn't a gold thing that people wore around their neck. It was an instrument of torture and death. And so why would Jesus say, take up your cross and follow me? Because we have to be willing to die to ourselves if we're going to experience his resurrection life. And he knew that. He also said, follow me. That means that you stop leading and you start following. A lot of people, Kyle Ottman says in the book, a lot of people treat God like a consultant. Like, God, I'm going to consult you, but really I know that ultimately the decision is mine. You give me, you know, your best advice, but I will take it into consideration. And that is not the Christian life. The Christian life is, God, you show me what to do. And even if it's hard, I will rely on your strength in order to be able to do what you're calling me to do and what you're saying to me to do. So God expects us to obey him. He gives us the choice in this life to obey or disobey, but disobedience is never without consequences. So the Christian life means death to my choices so that I can see the wisdom in his. Death to my plans, because I believe that his plans are better. Death to my attitude that makes life all about my feelings and needs. I don't know if I have a slide for this. Do I have a slide for this, Joe? If I do, just go ahead and put it up. If not, death to my desires that hinder me and others from living a life that matters for eternity. And I think I skipped the third one. Death to my attitude that makes life all about my feelings and needs. This is what God calls us to. And I really felt to just kind of reiterate the death part, because I think a lot of people don't understand how powerful the resurrection is because they have never experienced the death of Christianity. And so they don't understand. Like, I know Jesus had to die on a cross, and I know. But when you really understand death, then you recognize the need for the resurrection. And when you die to yourself, then you receive the resurrected life. And that's what's so awesome, is that Jesus knew we couldn't experience the resurrected life without death to our selfish desires. That's why he was so blunt with people, I believe. All of us are innately selfish. Jesus said in Luke 18:19, there is none good except God. He said that to the rich young ruler. When the rich young ruler came and said, good teacher, Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good except God. A lot of us feel like we are pretty good apart from God. And that causes us to think that maybe we don't really need the cross as much. which causes us to devalue the cross and by extension to devalue the resurrection. Some people think Jesus needed to die for some people, for the really bad people in the world. But really, Jesus didn't need to die for me because I'm not really that bad. I'm a pretty good person. But if we think that way, then we don't value the cross because it's not personal. We don't recognize that I needed Jesus to die for me. If we don't understand that, then we don't realize how much death needs to happen, how much Jesus' death needs to happen, and how much our death needs to happen. But John 15:5, I have a slide for that, Joe. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So what we're doing apart from him, it doesn't count in eternity. That's why people that think I have done all of these good things here on earth, I have, you know, reached out to people and given money to charity and, you know, tried to help people during COVID-19. If your life is not surrendered to the Lord Jesus, it is not going to help you when you stand before God. That's the sad truth. Because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If my life is not surrendered to him, what I have learned from my own life is that my motives are ultimately selfish. It's about people thinking what a nice person I am, or people saying thank you to me, or people patting me on the back, or people being so grateful for what I did, or whatever it is. If we are innately selfish, that's why Jesus needed to die for all of us. The second verse, Psalm 16:2 says, oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. That's why we need Jesus. We need everyday relationship with the Lord Jesus so that when we stand before him, we have rewards. We have heaven because of what Jesus did. The cross becomes something, though, that someone else really needs if I don't understand that. But when I see the depravity is the word that came to my mind, and depravity just means wickedness. When I see the wickedness of my sin, then I realize that I need the cross. I need Jesus's cross, and I need to take up my cross so that I can die to myself. Because when I'm willing to die to myself is when the resurrection happens. Because you can't resurrect something that refuses to die. A lot of people, again, don't understand the resurrection because they have never really died to themselves. They go, oh, I know, we celebrate Jesus when he resurrected. Yay, Jesus was resurrected. But if you have never died to yourself, then you will not understand the revelation of how important it is. But when we die to ourselves and we realize resurrected life is what I get in return, and not just in the hereafter, but in this life, we're called not only to focus on the death, because with the death comes the new life. Romans 6:3, it says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's not talking about just in the hereafter. We get to walk in newness of life here in this life every day. Resurrection life with Jesus. It continues, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, that's the important part. You have to be united in his death. You have to die to self. You have to be willing to die to the things of self that he's showing you that need to die. Then certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been free from sin. Freed from sin. If we don't die to ourselves, we remain slaves of sin. There are all kinds of slavery to sin. There's slavery to selfish ambition, to selfish desires, to lust, to greed, to vanity, slave to the approval of people, slave to the need for power and control, just to name some of them. That's why, even after we've made the initial decision to die to self and live with Jesus as Master and Lord of our lives, we have to die to self daily, because God sees the things that rise up in our lives that will keep us from allowing Jesus to stay Lord. And when things rise up, when pride rises up, when the need for control rises up, when the need to handle things myself, and when the need to take care of myself and not to consider other people rises up in me, God will point it out to me and say, you need to repent of that. And then I have the opportunity in those moments to die to self, so that I can walk in the resurrection life that Jesus is giving us. When we take up our cross with that choice comes the resurrection life here and in the hereafter. So then the resurrection is a very big deal, because not only because of what it meant for Jesus, but because what it means for us in this life. But we won't experience it unless we die to self. And the more that we die to self, the more freedom we will experience. Now, the process is hard. It involves brokenness, and it can be a hard process. But as we continually lay down self and saying, God, I believe that your way is better. I believe that your plans are better. I believe that you are true to your word, that your promises are true. What happens is we begin to see the things of self begin to fall off. And we have freedom in areas that we were bound before. Where before we were bound to the approval of people, and we had to live a certain way so that other people would pat us on the back or approve of us. God will sometimes take us through processes that our self has to die. But when you come on the other side of that and you see the changes in yourself and you realize, I am not bound by that anymore. I am not bound by the approval of people the way that I was before. I'm not bound by pride the way that I was before. Maybe I still have some areas. Well, definitely, I still have some areas that need to die. But I see all of these other areas that I am free now. That I am free from self and free from sin. And freedom is what Jesus came to offer us. But it doesn't come. You cannot be resurrected if you don't die. There is no resurrection without death. And so, when we die to ourselves and live surrendered to Christ, we can walk in the abundant life that He designed for us. Our desires change. Concepts of what's important to us begin to change. And all of this God is doing to prepare us for eternity. So much of the things that are valued in eternity are upside down from life down here. Life down here, people spend their whole life to gain something that lasts for a moment. And sometimes it matters nothing in eternity. And God doesn't want that for any of us, especially not those of us that have chosen to walk with Him. And so when we continually say to God, God, my life is yours, God will continually refine our lives so that we can stand before God and we have more and more gold and silver and precious stones, that when we stand before God in heaven, we don't have all of this stuff that burns up. God wants to do that in our lives because He is creating us for more of a purpose than just what is momentary, than just what lasts for the here and now. But we have to allow God to change our mentality, because if we look at the world and we get caught up in television and in, you know, what the media says that we need and what other people have and what, the things that other people get to do and what looks so fun to the world, we will miss on what really matters. It happens all the time. And God doesn't want that for us. When our desires and our concepts of what's important change, then instead of just doing Christian things because we should, we do right things because we want to, because Jesus is being exalted in our lives and we really are becoming more like Him. And it's less of a, I do this because I should, or because I have to, or because somebody said that I should. And it's more that it's a desire that comes out of my heart and out of my soul. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh. So we still live this life in the flesh. I would love it if I could have my eternal body now, and I wouldn't be getting older, and I wouldn't be dealing with all of that. And also, I would love to not have to deal with the flesh and not have to die to my own self and my own wrong attitudes and all of that. But right now, in this life, we live in the flesh. But as we die to the flesh, we live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We live with his power and with his presence. I'm telling you, as you learn to die to self, you will learn to hear the voice of God more. You will have his direction more. You will have more purpose in your life. Now, it might not look like what the world calls success. And if you think that, then you are sometimes in for a rude awakening, because God's idea of success is very different than the worldly idea of success. In fact, Jesus spent the majority of his time pouring into a small group of people. And even at the cross, even when he was taken to the cross, most of them ran away from him. But his life made such an impact. We can't always see what's happening in the right choices that we make right now in this life. But if we will continue to look at Jesus, he will keep saying to us, it's worth it. It's worth it. We will live with his power and his presence. And in each area of our lives that we die to ourselves, we can choose to walk in the resurrection life. Now, that is two parts, because we have to die to self. But I am telling you from personal experience, when you die to self, do not just sit in a martyr pity party and think, oh, my life is so hard and it's so bad. Because listen, I understand that. Like, it, when you're dying to self, it's hard on the flesh. It's frustrating and it's broken and it's annoying sometimes and it's uncomfortable and it's a lot of things. But if you will, in those moments, look upward and change your attitude and refuse to just focus on how you feel and how hard what you're going through is. If you will instead look at Jesus and in faith say, God, I believe that even as I am dying to self, you are being resurrected through me and you are accomplishing great things in my life. And then we can walk in the resurrection life, because when we die to self, we can reign in life with Jesus. Romans 5:17, the second part of the verse, says, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Because it starts off talking about one man's offense. I'm talking about Adam in the garden, Adam's offense. Death reigned through one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace. That's the awesome thing about this Christian life. There is an abundance of grace. Listen, I would love to stand up here and sound very pastoral and spiritual and say that I always die to myself and I always respond in the right way and I always, you know, repent immediately when I should and, you know, respond to people the way that I should. But I don't. But thank God there is an abundance of grace. And God is so much more merciful than we are. That when we come to him in brokenness, even when we know we have nothing to deserve it. God, I don't deserve coming even into your presence right now. But I don't have any other choice. It's either that I come to you and accept your grace or I quit. And quitting is not what I want to do because I don't want to go to hell. And so it's either that or I come needing your mercy and accepting your grace. Realizing that that's why Jesus died on the cross. There is an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I die to myself because that's how God refines me. That's not what makes me righteous. I am righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. My righteousness doesn't come from the fact that I handled something right this morning. Because if that was the case, then I wouldn't have the right to come into God's presence to ask for his grace. My righteousness comes because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's why his cross was so important. But then he didn't stay dead. He was resurrected. And so he is now in heaven interceding for me when I blow it so that I can walk with him and I can receive an abundance of grace. And when we understand those things, we will reign in life, the Bible says, through the one Jesus Christ. When we stop living for selfish, sinful desires, and when we live dead to ourselves and alive in Christ, we experience the freedom of the resurrected life. So, I want to take you back to the beginning. What does the resurrection mean to you? Have you died to yourself? If you have, you'll know. If you've been dying to yourself daily, you'll know. Because it's painful, but it's freeing as you do it. If you haven't been taking up the cross daily, I want to challenge you to examine your Christian life by His standards. So many people, I really believe, are in for a rude awakening when they stand before God, because they are living by someone else's standards or by an idea that they have in their mind as to what Christianity is. We don't have to guess about what the standards of Christianity are. They are clearly laid out in Scripture. And today I felt to bring to our focus that we are to deny ourselves, that we are to take up our cross, and we are to follow Jesus. We won't be judged by our ideas of what Christianity should look like, but by His standards. And so if you aren't experiencing the resurrected life, ask yourself if you're treating God as a consultant instead of a master and Lord. Lord means supreme in authority, that God, I give the decisions to you. I might not like the decision that you asked me to make, but it's not my decision to make anymore. And when I'm weak and I can't do it on my own, I go to you knowing that you are strong and that you're able to help me and to make up the difference to help me to get where you're asking me to be. Life with Jesus is the most precious life there is. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I challenge you, if this is where you are and you're struggling with dying to self, to stop trying to share the throne of your life with God. And just get off the throne entirely and give the throne and the reign to Him. It will mean humility. It will mean a change of thinking, a change of actions, a change of priorities, a change in your attitude, a change in the way that you spend your time and money, a change in all of those things. But I promise you, He's worth it. If you are willing to surrender to Him today, ask for His grace and help to make the changes that He's asking you to make. Don't expect it to be easy, but stay in it for the long haul, and I promise you, you will never regret it. I don't regret, in all of my 44 years, I always have to think about how old I am. I don't regret any of the decisions that I have made to walk with the Lord. Every time that I've said yes to God, I don't regret it. I regret the times that I've said no to God, and then I lived for myself. But there is grace that I have asked God to cover me and forgive me, and He is so merciful. But if you have never really surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, these verses explain how. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means you say out loud that you are giving your life to Jesus as Lord, as commander in chief, as supreme in authority in your life. And believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. When you understand, again, how important the death is, you'll understand how important the resurrection is. And when you begin to die to self, then you will really want the resurrected life. But that's what comes. That's the benefit of dying to self, is that resurrected life comes. You will be saved, it continues. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you choose to make that decision today, please let us know. We would like to pray for you. We would like to see you get baptized, because baptism is an important part. It is a picture of the old life dying and the new life being resurrected with Christ. That's one of the reasons why baptism is such an important part of the Christian life. And so I hope that this Resurrection Sunday, His death becomes more precious to you so that His life can take on new meaning. I want to end with this verse, John 12, 24 and 25. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. As Christians, our number one job is not to please self, but to please Him. But in pleasing Him, there comes so much more freedom, because pleasing self is a never-ending process. The self is always wanting more, and there is always something else that we need and something else that, you know, we have to have, and it's an ongoing process. But when we make our life about pleasing Him, then we have His power to draw on. But that takes faith. I challenge you, if you submit to the process. I was listening to the song "I Am God" by Kirk Franklin, because it kind of takes you through the process and sometimes how hard the process is. But when we submit to God and surrender, and in real obedience and in humility, we allow God to do such a perfect work in us that only He can do. And He changes us in ways that only He can. And He makes our life worth living for eternity. And not only will we receive the benefits in this life, but in the hereafter, which is so much longer than this amount of years that we have here. So as we close, I want to pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder today that we live our life dying to self so that we can experience the life that you gave us. God, we need you. And I just pray, even for those that are listening right now, I pray for those that haven't really made a real commitment, that maybe they've said a prayer but haven't died to themselves. I pray in Jesus' name that today that they would recognize that you are worth the sacrifice. I pray for those Christians that are really trying to live, dying to self, that they would really begin to experience the resurrected life and begin to see the freedom that comes from living surrendered to you. And God, I pray that as we live this life, that it will accomplish much for you, and that many people will be drawn to the truth of the gospel because of how we live, that as we let our light shine, that others would see your good works, our good works, and would glorify you, Father, we pray. I thank you, Jesus, for what you did and for the life that you offer us, because you are worth it. You are worthy of the life that we offer to you. In Jesus' name.